Hello, and welcome to the teaching of BTE, the Bible Translation and Exegesis Ministry serving the Central Coast of California. We feel strongly about handling the Word of God with accuracy, and that's why we approach the Scriptures from the starting point of the original languages. Our hope is to provide you with sound Bible study that will help you to grow in the wisdom and knowledge of our Lord. For a complete list of our resources or to just let us know how we are doing, go to bteministries.org.
Colossians chapter 4, we're starting a new application of the completed life. That once a person has received Christ, they are made complete in Him. But within God's salvation, there is His kingdom, His way of doing things. And there are various applications. We've studied the order of the completed life in chapter 3, verse 18, through chapter 4, verse 1, that we took last week. His order as far as relationships go. Today's application in verses 2 through 4 is the Lord's application concerning prayer. Once a person is saved, and that's what this is directed to, a person who is saved. Once a person is saved, they have this living, interactive relationship with Christ. We're not talking about religious prayer. We're talking about biblical Christian prayer. That is, the prayer of the believer with his or her Lord. There is a difference. It says in verse 2, Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, two things about prayer. First of all, personal prayer for each believer, and then Paul's request for prayer. In verse 2, he says, be continuing in prayer. That's a command in the Greek text. And it denotes that it is to be continuous, unceasing prayer. By watching in it, that is being alert, not falling asleep at the wheel, not leaving off from prayer. Don't let life take you away from prayer. By watching in it in thanksgiving. Interesting, in the New Testament, in instruction to Christians, to believers about prayer, it's thanksgiving is always included in that. And we'll see why in a moment as to what exactly prayer is for. This morning, I want to, in the time that we have, share with you the principles of prayer. The principles of prayer for the believer. First thing I want to share with you is definition. Prayer is conversing or having conversation with God. That's it. Many people think of prayer as the time in which you have to get away where you can close your eyes and have prayer time. Well, that's important. But in the Bible, that's not all that prayer is. We have to understand that prayer is conversing or having conversation with the Lord. It's communication. It's called prayer because it's between us and the Lord whom we cannot see. You and I, if we spent the day together, we'd be conversing, having conversation throughout the day. Well, it's also true for the believer because in the believer's life, Jesus Christ is there with them all day long. And so the command and teaching in New Testament is that if you belong to Jesus Christ, be continually in communication with Him. Be continually conversing with Him. having conversation. Someone asked many years ago, it says, in Paul's writings, it says, pray unceasingly. How can I do that if I'm driving down the freeway? Can't close my eyes, can't pull over. I got to get to where I have to go. Well, see, there's the misunderstanding. You have to close your eyes if you're going to have a conversation with the person next to you in the car? See, our concept of prayer is religious. In reality, it's talking with the Lord all day long, conversing with Him, seeking Him, talking to Him about things, committing things to Him. Be continuous in prayer. And in it, by watching, staying alert, and do it in thanksgiving to Him. Which brings us back to the principles of prayer. First of all, prayer is conversation with God. Period. Anytime, anywhere, just like we would have conversation with anybody else. I would just advise, if you're going to have a conversation with God and you're going to do it audibly and out loud, you shouldn't do it around other people, because they're going to call the little men in white coats to come and pick you up because you're talking to an imaginary friend. It doesn't have to be audible. This is something that goes on between us and the Lord. It's a relationship. The second thing about prayer that I want to share with you is the character of prayer. The character of prayer. It is spiritual, not religious. Prayer that is living and alive and in a relationship with Christ, prayer, that kind of prayer is inspired by the Holy Spirit, not human beings. Some people religiously pray every day at the same time, just as a religious habit. That's religious prayer. That's not spiritual prayer. That's not a prayer out of relationship. A prayer, conversation with the Lord that is real and active and alive between a person and Christ is inspired by the Holy Spirit. Listen to what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, which is the parallel part to Colossians chapter 4 that we're in. Ephesians 6, 18, through all prayer and petition, praying in every opportunity in the Spirit. For this same thing, by being watchful in all perseverance and petition concerning all the saints. So not only for yourself, but be continuing and persevering for all the saints too. But he says, pray in the Spirit. In Jude, there's only one chapter in Jude, Jude verses 19 and 20, in speaking of those false people who are in Christian fellowship, Jude says in verse 19, these are the ones setting themselves apart. They're not being set apart by the Lord. They're doing it religiously. They are psychical. That is, they're normal. They're functioning according to the normal human psyche. They don't have the Spirit at all. In fact, that's what he says now, not having the Spirit. They're just natural. There's nothing about the Spirit of God about them at all. But you, yourselves, beloved, in your holy faith, building yourselves up by praying in the Holy Spirit. Not just prayer, but under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Spirit-inspired prayer. We've learned on a Monday night class in Romans chapter 8, when God's Spirit is in us crying out, Abba, Father, creating this relationship between us and the Father through the Spirit, that the Spirit given to us, that's what creates and inspires a relationship with Christ and His relationship with us. He is the one who inspires communication. If it's human and religious, it goes nowhere. means nothing. Unless it's inspired by the Spirit of God. Well, what about James chapter 5, verse 16? It's the one that everybody uses to talk about the prayer of a righteous man availeth much, has much strength. What says in James 5, verse 16, be confessing to one another your trespasses and pray on behalf of one another so that you might be healed, because the petition being energized of a righteous man is very strong. That's a literal translation. But I emphasize the fact to you, and this is again emphasizing to you how important the original language is. The petition that's being energized of a righteous man. It's the prayer that's being energized. And the passive voice of this participle shows that it's coming from an outside force other than the person. So the prayer or petition that is being energized by God, this prayer of the righteous man. The righteous man is not being energized. The prayer is. Has much strength. So again, it fits in with praying in the Spirit. In James 5, James used Elijah as an example. He in his prayer, he closed up heaven for 3 years, and then he caused it to rain for 3 years, all by prayer. And they say, see, look at this. But his prayer was inspired by God. It's showing just how powerful the prayer inspired by the Holy Spirit can be. Elijah didn't do it. Again, watching the other day of some teachers here in America, it's a very big, popular teaching where they say that you as a Christian can take power over death. Do you know, they say, that you can determine when you die? You don't have to die when you're going to die. You can determine that. You can live as long as you want to by faith. You can die at the time that you determine by faith. But they also said you can have power over the weather. And they're talking about how they were in an airplane and they looked out and they saw a water spout coming down over the ocean. It was right near land. And one of them just went, and it spiraled back up and went away. Oh. But the problem, see, it's like, oh, that just appeals to people. Have that kind of power to govern the circumstances in your life with that kind of power. I want to tap into that. If you can do it, then I'm going to follow you and you teach me how to do it, because I want that. The problem is that once you subscribe to such a teaching, you become guilty of negligent homicide. Well, how's that? All these storms slamming in to populated areas where people die. Why didn't you send the storm away? Why didn't you use your faith to make that storm go someplace else? One of these guys, and this was several years ago, one of these teachers actually bragged that a hurricane was heading right towards them on the East Coast, and by prayer he sent it away, and it went further south and slammed into New Orleans. So I spared our city. Yeah, but what about poor New Orleans? Well, if they had the same faith, they could have done the same thing. Well, if you had faith, you could have done the same thing for New Orleans. I mean, you know. Make it dissipate. Go back up into the heavens like the water spout. But they can't do it. It doesn't work. But the appeal to the power. So James 5:16 is used a lot for you as a Christian. Your prayer is very powerful. Well, it is the prayer that comes from you, but it's the prayer that's energized by God. If it's not energized by God, nothing, zero, means nothing. What about all those prayers I prayed in church? If it's not inspired by the Holy Spirit, God doesn't receive it. And spiritually, it means nothing. It's just religious. It's just human. So prayer is conversation. The character of prayer is that it is spiritual, not human or religious. Thirdly, content. The content of prayer, just as important. As we've done in the past, we've told you that in 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, 1 John 5, verses 14 and 15 is the premier teaching in the New Testament about prayer. And you say, well, wait a minute. What about all the teachings about from Jesus and all the teachings of Paul? You're saying one place is the premier place and teaching of prayer. Yes, that's what I said. John wrote this about prayer 60 years after Christ and after all the other letters in the New Testament had been written, except for the book of Revelation and the Gospel of John. But he wrote his teaching in summary of all of the Lord's teachings and all of the other apostles' teachings on prayer. And he basically said, this is what it boils down to in a nutshell. 1 John 5:14, and this is the confidence which we have toward him, that if anything we should ask, emphasis on anything, if anything we should ask according to his will, he is hearing us. So the content of prayer, when I'm praying under the influence of the Holy Spirit, is to pray for the Lord's will to be done. That's what prayer is for. Now, we have to understand that God's will is being done. He is sovereign. He's in control. He has designed all circumstances. As we said the first hour, he has his timing and his way for his purposes that he does things. But I'm the one that's out of whack. I'm the one that's not in tune with him because I am the one that is influenced by my circumstances. Oh, Lord, help me. And the Lord's going, I got it. You know? Oh, you don't understand, Lord. If this turns out, I got it. I'm in charge. I designed it. I brought it about. It has my purpose in it. So when I pray, and I pray for the Lord's will to be done, I am actually surrendering myself in submission to him. That's what prayer is for. Prayer is to talk with him and be in constant contact with him and to be constantly submitting and surrendering to him because he's already in charge. He's already working his will. And how can I have confidence that he's hearing me? By turning it over to him. Get it off of my shoulders and put it on his, where it belongs. Verse 15 of 1 John 5 says, and if we know that he is hearing us, if you have this confidence, because that's the question that comes up all the time about prayer. Well, God doesn't seem to answer my prayers. Well, you can have confidence that he is hearing your prayer every single time when you ask for his will to be done. Because he's already doing that, you see. If we know that he is hearing us, whatever we should ask. Notice how he puts that in there. Whatever it is, if we know that he hears us because we've asked for his will to be done, we know that we have present tense. We have the requests which we have asked from him. So when I pray and I say, Lord, let your will be done, in Jesus' name, amen, I look up, you got it. You have it. Right now. What's going on? I think you can see why over the years Christians have had problems with prayer. Because in the human, we can't accept the fact of what is going on, especially if it's situations of hardship and difficulty, and we can't accept it as being God's will. So someone comes along with a book or some teaching on prayer saying, you don't have to sit there and trust the Lord. The only reason the circumstances are bad is because you haven't taken charge. Control. So you need to pray in Jesus' name and make it happen that you want to have happen. Because a God of love wouldn't let the situation get worse, would he? In John chapter 14, verses 13 and 14, Jesus said, and whatever you should ask in my name, this I will do, in order that the Father might be glorified in the Son. If anything you should ask in my name, I myself will do it. That's the same as John's pray according to his will, because that's what it means to pray in the name of Jesus Christ. To pray in his name is not some superstitious, mystical formula to make magic happen. He's not, the Holy Spirit's not like a fairy that's just there and we kind of rub the genie lamp and it makes things happen. You use Jesus' name and then the Holy Spirit's like, well, I guess I have to do it because you used his name in magic. When you do something in someone's name, you're doing it for their purpose and their benefit in representation of them. If I work for Verizon and I come to your house because you have a telephone problem and I have the name of Verizon on my shirt, I am there representing Verizon and their purposes, or else I wouldn't be there. Why would I come to your house and say, excuse me, this is my day off, and I work for Verizon. I just thought I'd just check just to make sure your phone's okay. You think this guy's a nut. But if you call in, and I come out in the name of Verizon to take care of the problems that you want Verizon to fix, then I represent them and their purposes. It's always the way it's been from the Old Testament to the New Testament. A person's name represents them, their character, their purpose, their attributes. So by praying for something to be done in the name of Jesus, it will be done. For his purposes, for his sake, and he himself will do it. If I was appointed an ambassador of the United States to another country and I went to that country and set up office there, I represent the United States. I don't represent myself. I go in the name of the United States. That's what I'm there for. So, John's teaching and the teachings of Jesus are both the same. You ask for the Lord's will to be done. You ask for things to be done for Jesus' sake and in his name and not in your name and not for your purposes. It'll be done. No problem. There is no problem. The problem is with us. And to emphasize even further about the content of prayer being the expression of for the Lord's will to be done, in James chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. James 4, 1 to 4, James says, "For where do wars and fightings come from among you? Is it not from here, from out of your hedonistic desires?" Greek word is hedone. Your hedonistic desires, the ones that are warring in your physical members. You desire and you do not have. You murder and you are jealous. And you're not able to obtain. You fight and you war and you do not have on account of you not asking. The reason is you don't ask. Ask the Lord. Instead of even going to the point of plotting murder and being jealous and fighting, just pray about it. Ask him for it. But he goes on to say, you are asking and you are not receiving on account that you are asking wrongly. In order that your hedonistic desires you might spend it on. You're praying for yourself to be satisfied. Lord, here's what I want, and here's how I'm praying. And God says, I won't answer that. You won't have it. Because you're praying for your hedonistic desires to be satisfied. Here's what I want. And God says, that's not what prayer is for. If you want what God wants, you'll ask for his will to be done, which is being done, which will be done, and it'll be done in his timing. It's already happening. You cannot thwart, you cannot stop God's will from being done. Our reference for that is Luke chapter 1. Where Zacharias was told that his wife Elizabeth, who was too old to bear children, that his wife Elizabeth was going to bear a son. He would be John the Baptist. And Zacharias said, give me proof, because I'm old and my wife is advanced in years. It's humanly impossible. Give me proof that what you're saying to me is the truth. And the angel said to him, you want proof? You will be mute and unable to speak for the next 9 months. Until those things which I have told you will happen. His unbelief couldn't stop it from happening. His unbelief, God dealt with his unbelief, put him on the shelf to where he was just an observer and not somebody that's continually throwing out doubts and confusion. And this can't happen. It must have been maybe some other man. Have all these things going on for 9 months. So God made him mute. Said, you want proof? There you go. Mute. You are now an observer. Watch God work. But the angel said, until those things happen, which will happen in their time. So his unbelief couldn't stop it. But his unbelief dictated to God how he must deal with him to get him in line with God's will. And the last thing about prayer is confidence. Back in 1 John chapter 5, verse 15, and if we know that he is hearing us, whatever we should ask, we know that we have the requests. What are the requests? God's will to be done in these various situations and circumstances. By praying that, am I making him do his will? No, he's doing his will. I'm lining myself up with him. I'm now in line with him when I ask for his will to be done because my emotions and my psyche is all over the place. So by asking for his will to be done, I'm then surrendering it to him. I'm looking to him, not the circumstances. And you say, well, how many times do we have to pray? I don't know. How long does it take before you take it back? You start worrying about it again. Oh, what if God does it this way? What if God doesn't, then you gave it to the Lord and you just took it back. don't know, how long is it going to take before you give it to them? That's how long it's going to take. And he started off in 1 John 5:14 by saying this is the confidence that we have in him. He always hears the prayer of his people that are praying for his will to be done, that lines us up with him, that brings us to be at peace, because our odds are not because we are at odds with our circumstances. Our odds are we're at odds with the Lord. And in conversation and prayer, we're constantly expressing in the midst of the psychological and emotional upheaval of the day that constantly comes to us, we are constantly and continuous in prayer. Asking for and surrendering ourselves to the Lord's will that is being done. Back in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, be continuing in prayer, be watching in it and thanksgiving. And then Paul says, personally for him, by praying together also concerning us, in order that God might open to us a door of the word, to speak the mystery of Christ, on account of which also I have been bound, in order that I might make manifest, as it is necessary for me to speak. So Paul says, pray for me. I'm in prison. He is in chains in prison. And he's asking, pray for me for the opportunity that God might give me the opportunity to speak the truth of his word, and that I might make it manifest as it is necessary to speak, and that would be under the influence of the Holy Spirit. He's saying so that I'd be sensitive to God's Spirit doing it, because humanly, if human beings in their human effort preach the gospel, it goes for nothing. So just like he said in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, be praying for the saints. Lord, according to your will, give Paul the opportunity to speak your word and give him the wisdom to know how to speak as it is necessary to speak. So he's there. He doesn't know if he's going to get an opportunity. He doesn't know if there will be an opportunity. But it is interesting, what he's saying is, I've already settled it. It's God's will that I'm here to begin with. So it's like, say, pray for me, because whatever his purposes are, even to be able to speak to others about Christ, that the Lord would open that door, since this is his will for me. I'm here for a purpose. Pray that God would use me for his purpose. And that's Paul's submission and surrender to what the Lord's will for his life is. So prayer is conversation with the Lord all day, every day. Because he is there with us all the time. He never leaves, yet we very rarely talk to him. We're very in tune to our circumstances. We're not very in tune to Christ. We also know about the character of prayer, that the prayer that is part of a relationship with Christ is energized and inspired by the Holy Spirit. It's not human and it's not religious. We know that the content of prayer is the means by which we express our submission to his will. That's what prayer's for. To pray for his will to be done. That lines me up with him. And this brings me to confidence. I can have confidence in him that if I've asked for his will to be done, he is hearing me And I do have right now the answer to my prayer. I have the answer to the requests which I have prayed. Confidence in prayer. Let's close. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the inspiration of your Spirit that causes us to enter into this very personal interaction with you and your Spirit. Just as Paul said, to pray in thanksgiving. Just like now, we've been in your Word together. We've spent the morning together. And we pray for all things to be done according to your will in our hearts and lives. And we can give thanksgiving for that because you're there working out your will, and we can be thankful for that. We can be thankful in everything because your will is being carried out, because you are there to be in charge of every situation. You are the Lord God Almighty. For that, we can pray in thanksgiving. We pray that by your Spirit, you would teach us about this personal interactive relationship with Jesus Christ, that you'd help us to develop our relationship with you by faith, communicating to and trusting someone whom we cannot see, nor can we feel, but someone who is constantly active in our lives and around our lives all day, every day. Teach us to enter into this kind of personal relationship. Teach us to have conversation with you, realizing that the circumstances of life pull us in and psychologically and or emotionally hold us bondage until we let go and surrender it to you for your will to be done. It brings us to be at peace because we're no longer in charge. For that, we can be thankful. So we pray that you'd teach us these things and develop these things in us in our relationship with you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.